Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam, kaschid mam veti tatvataha, manushyanam sahasreshu. Kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam, kaschid mam veti tatvataha, manushyanam, of men. Sahasreshu, out of many thousands, kaschit, someone, yatati, endeavors, siddhaye, for perfection, yatatam, of those so endeavoring. Api, indeed, siddhanam, of those who have achieved perfection, kaschit, someone, mam, me, veti, does know, tatvataha, in fact. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Purport. There are various grades of men. And out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, and hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, for this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such, for it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though one has transcendental realization. of impersonal Brahman. Krishna explains later in the Gita, Naham Prakashat Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita Mudo Yam Nabijana Ti Loko Mam Ajamovyo Yam. I have my special deluding potency, Yogamaya. And this means material Maya. The material deluding power that keeps people unable to see God in his real form. Naham Prakashak, I am not manifested to almost anybody. Yoga Maya Samavrita, covered by my Yoga Maya energy. And therefore, people are Mudha. Muhyati is bewildered. Mudha, people are confused. They have wrong idea. They think that everything is happening by mechanical laws of nature. As if material nature was the supreme authority and the supreme creator. But nature, prakriti, means shakti, energy. How can you have shakti without Shaktiman? Even if you are a worshipper of Shakti, you worship Durga, you consider yourself Shakta, worshipper of the divine energy, and consider her supreme. But she's a married woman. She has her husband, Lord Mahadev, is Shaktiman. He's the husband of the Shakti. Energy doesn't make sense without considering whose energy? Energy is potency, capacity to do work. They teach you that if you studied high school physics. The definition of energy is capacity to do work. You have a dry cell battery. It's not doing anything, it's sitting in your drawer. But if you put it in your camera, then your flashlight will work. Because the dry cell has potential energy. And when it's properly put into an electric circuit, the energy manifests. So all energies are energies of a proprietor of energy. What is money? Money is an energy. But it only makes sense as an energy when people use it. Because we use these pieces of paper that have Gandhi's picture on it, different sizes and colors. We use them as a means of exchange for buying and selling things. Therefore we call it money, and it has a value. But if nobody used them, suppose you take them all to Russia. Nobody uses those papers. They use different papers in Russia, rubles instead of rupees. Your paper will be useless in Russia unless you exchange it. So when people don't use the energy, it has no value. Energy only has value when there's an owner and a user of that energy. It doesn't make sense to worship the Shakti and ignore that Shakti belongs to somebody. I may like that piece of property, that plot of land across the street. I'd like to have it. I can't simply pitch my tent on that property and take it over. That's not legal. I have to find the owner, identify the owner, and arrange a purchase if I actually want the land. So we want access to the Shakti. We had better identify who the Shakti belongs to and make a deal with him, negotiate terms of usage. So therefore, it's recommended that we consider the energy as subordinate to the Supreme Lord. All the energy belongs to God. Aham sarvasya paravo matak sarvam pavartate. I am the creator of everything, Krishna says. Everything originates from me. Voktaram yagatoposam sarvaloka maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of everything. Well, everything is my energy. And therefore, everybody is working for me because this whole creation is a sole proprietorship. I own the whole lock, stock, and barrel, Krishna says. Therefore, if you have any desire to make use of Krishna's energy, you had better make a deal with Krishna. You'd better negotiate terms of usage. But Krishna has already specified his terms. Through the Vedic Rishis, he's specifying in the Upanishads. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita madhrita kasya swidhanam. Everything is the property of God, which means every existing entity is a shakti, a potency of God. But you have a right. You are allowed to use the energy of God, tena chaktena, if he's granted you that privilege. He's granted to everyone a certain ability, a certain privilege, adhikar, to utilize certain energies. We have our bodies. We can fairly claim proprietorship of our own body to a certain extent. And we can utilize the capacities of our body and mind. And we may, in addition, have some money in our pocket or even money in a bank account. We may have a family that we can claim that we are the leader of the family. We may have a position in society that some people may follow our leadership. So we have various capacities that are granted us by the sanction of God. Tena chaktena bunjita. That you are allowed to enjoy. But you have no right to covet, to be greedy for what is someone else's property. Take and enjoy what God has given you, but don't ask for more. So, Krishna is talking here about how rare it is that a person actually surrenders to God, is satisfied to simply be the servant of God. Only as one very significant statement that Prabhupada makes in this purport is that only devotees of Krishna can understand him. The impersonalists, even though they're in the category of the rare soul who's striving for perfection, aiming to understand themselves as pure spirit, and they may even have a concept of a supreme spirit beyond themselves. But if they're not surrendered loving devotees of the supreme person, and if they don't understand the supreme as a person, and they're not trying to develop their loving personal relationship with him, they cannot really understand him. Nayam atma pavachanena labhyo namedaya nabahuna shutena yamai vaisha vinute tena labhyas tashyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. This supreme soul cannot be understood by any means of study or investigation, not by studying the Vedas, not by philosophical speculation and argument, not even by performing many ritual sacrifices. That will do some good for you, and you'll become elevated in knowledge and purified from the effects of the lower gunas, rajas and tamas. But it will not give you real knowledge of the Supreme Person. None of these means. Only when the Supreme Lord is satisfied with your attempt to serve him, to approach him, does he choose of his sweet will to reveal himself. Yamai Vaisha Vrinute, when God notices you because he's satisfied with your attempt to approach him, then he reveals himself as he is. Naham Prakashak Sarvasya, I don't reveal myself to just anybody, but to my devotee with whom I'm satisfied, I reveal myself. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhojatam Kriti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. To those who are always endeavoring to connect with me, who are practicing the worship of the Supreme Person, even just externally practicing, even just coming to the Murti of the Lord in some temple and making a small offering, some dandavat pranam and a small coin, some flower, and repeatedly making that ritual offering without any particular love, just out of duty, thinking that you'll do some good by it, you'll accomplish something good. So you do it. But if you do it, those who do such, make such attempts to approach God on a regular basis, satata yuktana, and if they start to develop some actually loving attraction toward God, then Krishna says, I give them special intelligence, buddhi yoga. Not just the kind of intelligence you'll get if you go to a coaching session after school and they teach you how to pass an exam with flying colors. That's one kind of intelligence. And it's successful. They know what they're doing. They can help you pass with a better grade if you pay them enough money and do what they say. But Krishna is talking about a higher intelligence. Not intelligence by which you can get into IIT, but intelligence by which you can get into Vaikuntha. Buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. This is the after-school coaching session we should go to. You know, to learn how to please Krishna, how to constantly give our attention to him, so that he'll be pleased to instill in our hearts this higher intelligence by which we can gradually understand him better and better, to the point that we develop actual ecstatic love of God. And after that, we can come to the point of actually seeing Krishna face to face and developing our intimate loving relationships with him. But this is very rare. Manushanam sahasreshu kastid yarti siddhaye. Out of many thousands of human beings, thank you, only one even tries for any kind of spiritual understanding. Most people don't care. They're satisfied with their narrow, petty, materialistic life. Most people. One out of many thousands. And if you do an actual survey in the 21st century, you'll find it's many thousands. One out of many thousands. Maybe tens or hundreds of thousands. In a big city, a small handful of people you'll find are seriously interested in any kind of real spiritual life, even impersonal. And of those who are making some endeavor to understand their own spiritual nature, it's very rare to find, even among those small handful, you may find a handful of people in each city. Count them all up around the world. You may have thousands, not so many, a few thousands of sincere seekers. Out of them, you'll find one who actually understands Krishna in truth. Because we can improve the statistics by promoting the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's working against the odds to increase the number of devotees. But the average statistics are that one out of millions actually knows Krishna as he is, has actually gotten, pleased Krishna, and been granted this buddhi yoga by which they can understand him as he actually is. Prabhupada has more to say in the purport. I only read one paragraph, so let me read more of it. Krishna is, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. the cause of all causes, the primeval Lord Govinda. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It is very difficult for the non-devotees to know him. Although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy, they can't practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not so easy. The so-called path of bhakti, practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti, may be easy, but when it is practiced factually according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Hareya Bhaktir Utpataya Vakalpate. Devotional service of the Lord, which ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra, is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. It's not, well, Prabhupada is talking how devotional service is difficult. Not because it's complicated. There are only a few things you have to do to become Krishna's devotee. But those things, those small things, are hard things to do. You have to become sincere. You have to become completely honest and humble. These are the hardest things in the world, to become honest and humble. But that's what is required to actually become a devotee of Krishna. It's because of the difficulty of doing those two things that we probably have not yet become full-fledged devotees. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also verifies, Trinada Pisudi Chena Tarorda Pi Sahishnuda Amanina Mana Dena Kirtani Aksadahari. You want to chant Hare Krishna your whole life? What you have to do is become, feel yourself lower than a blade of grass. Blade of grass doesn't have much pride. He's standing on the sidewalk and he's tolerating everyone walking on his head. We get angry if someone comes near our false ego from 10 feet away. Can you tolerate letting people step on your head? Tarorda Pisahishnuna, and more tolerant than a tree. Tree is standing in the good weather, in the bad weather, the rain, the snow, the hot sun, and doing nothing to protect himself. We're making constant endeavors to make our life comfortable. You know, we have to buy a new car every year. We have to buy a bigger washing machine. We're not satisfied with a small television. We need a 40, you know, I don't know what they call it in centimeters, 40-inch television. Yeah. We need more comfort, more complication in our life. We have to make so many arrangements to protect ourselves. That's just the opposite of Tarorda Pisahishnuna. To be really become Krishna's devotee, we're expected to become infinitely tolerant and just depending on Krishna's arrangements, Krishna's provision, rather than always trying to provide for ourselves. That's a high order, to have to become so humble and so honest. Because if you're dishonest, you'll think you'll pretend to be humble when you're not. You'll pretend to be tolerant when you're not. And you'll even look in the mirror and lie to yourself. So first thing you need is honesty. Real humility is based on honesty. If you can make an honest self-appraisal of yourself, self-appraisal, if you can just be honest, then that's usually good reason to be humble. It's when you don't honestly judge yourself and don't honestly present yourself to others that that humility is impossible. But if we simply realistically look at ourselves, what we really are, and how many faults are actually in us, then it's easy to be humble. These are the actual prerequisites for getting Krishna's mercy and being allowed to become his fully recognized devotee. And it is highly recommended that we follow the methods given in the revealed scriptures. Explained everything. Smriti Purana Adi, Pancharatrika Adi. The original Vedas, the Smriti literatures, like the Dharma Shastras, the Puranas, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it also includes Bhagavad Gita. We follow the guidance of these books, then we can learn what to do and what not to do in order to become blessed by Krishna, to become his devotee. Otherwise, if we proudly and deceitfully make a show of being a great devotee, we will accomplish nothing but making a disturbance for everybody else. Utpattaya vakalpate. That is the judgment of Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, if you don't mind, I'll read the last paragraph of the purport just to finish it. Prabhupada says again, it is not possible for the Brahman realized impersonalist or the Paramatma realized yogi to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda or the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Muhyanti yat surayaha. Mam tu vedana kaschana. No one knows me as I am. The Lord says. And if one does know him, then samahatma sudur lavaha. Such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is. Tat vataha. Even though one is a great scholar or philosopher, only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable transcendental qualities in Krishna, in the cause of all causes, in his omnipotence and opulence, and in his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees. He is the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore it is said by Srila Rupa Goswami, Atak Shri Krishna Nama Adi Nabave Grahyam Indriyai Sevam Mukehi Jivadao Swayam Eva Spurat Yadaha. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu. Based on that idea, Rupa Goswami goes on in the Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu to recommend the process of sadhana bhakti, of devotional service in practice, following the guidance of Guru and Shastra. Regulated devotional service, in which we serve Krishna not because we have spontaneous love, because we haven't developed that yet. But we serve Krishna out of a sense of duty. We know this is what is good for us. If I give everything to Krishna, I will accomplish everything I need and everything I want. Therefore, I responsibly practice the stipulated regulated activities of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. These activities, it's a simple process, but it is regulated. It's a discipline. We should approach it in a disciplined, serious way. Chant Hare Krishna. Everyone who wants to take Diksha initiation in this line is expected to chant on the Japa Mala beads 16 times around, which is only one quarter of a lakh, right? One granta, 16 rounds. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his time, he used to say, I won't eat in the house of someone who's not a lakhpati. Back then, 100,000 rupees was a lot of money. Nowadays, every rickshawala is a lakhpati. If you don't have 5 lakhs, you can't get your daughter married, even if you're poor. So everybody has to be a lakhpati, otherwise you don't get your children married. But now you have to be a crorepati. Back then, a lakhpati was something, 500 years ago. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his saying was, I won't eat in the house of someone who's not a lakhpati. What does that mean? He wasn't interested in people's money. But he meant, unless someone chants 100,000 names of Krishna every day, which is 64 rounds, I won't eat in his house. I won't accept the invitation for lunch. He was strict. He considered a full-fledged devotee someone who chanted 4 times more than what Prabhupada has demanded from us. Prabhupada has made it as easy as possible. He's cut the minimum requirement down to 25% of what Lord Chaitanya originally demanded. But he ordered that in the future, in the history of ISKCON, no one has the authority to make the number less than 16 rounds, minimum. That's required. That's the beginning of the process, or the foundation of the process of sadhana bhakti. And we have 4 regulative principles. No illicit sex, strictly defined, even for grihastas. No intoxication, including coffee, tea, and pond. These are even chocolate, at least, is on the borderline. We're supposed to avoid these things. No gambling. No kind of non-vegetarian food. And we should avoid even onions and garlic. This is strict principles. But these are the discipline of sadhana bhakti. If we accept this discipline, we can awaken love of God in our heart by that practice. Even if we have no love now, and we're full of material desires, if we enthusiastically follow that discipline, our material desires will dissolve, and our desire to know and love Krishna will increase. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Even though it's so rare, we can beat the statistics and be one of those out of a million who actually know Krishna. We can all do it. We can fool the statistics, and make millions of devotees if we go about it the right way. And if the devotees enthusiastically promote the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is our business. To become enthusiastic followers of the discipline and enthusiastic promoters of the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the key to our success in life. Hare Krishna. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Bhargava. Yes.
So, those who are practicing it, what is the source of their enthusiasm or their power to do it? What makes them tolerate the difficulty? Still, go on to
there may be various things to try for practicing enthusiasm and humility. Prabhupada was asked by one disciple, how do you become enthusiastic? And he said, just be enthusiastic. Just do it. Just act enthusiastic. So that's one way. Just pretend to be enthusiastic. Then you can become enthusiastic. Another way, very effective, is to be in the company of people who are enthusiastic and humble. And by osmosis, by just the power of association, you'll also acquire these qualities. They'll rub off on you. If you associate with proud and hypocritical people, fault finders, dissatisfied people, that won't improve you. But if you associate with better people, people who have saintly qualities, they'll rub off on you. You'll also acquire these qualities. So association, the quality of your association makes a big difference. Don't be shy to look for the association, the company of advanced souls, because that's the most valuable thing you can have. You know, if there's, you know, a box of money sitting on the floor, it's just sitting there. Don't be shy. Whoever grabs it gets it first. You know, so like that, association of devotees may be available. Take it. Grab it. Otherwise, the opportunity may be lost. That's the most effective way to develop the good qualities, is by associating with people who have those qualities. Okay? Anything else?
Is there a difference between karma yoga and buddhi yoga?
Well, buddhi yoga, yeah. Buddhi yoga is more... I'm just... Because in the second chapter, Krishna distinguished between what he was teaching in the first half of the chapter and what he started teaching in the second half. And he distinguished there, practically, between buddhi yoga as the philosophical understanding of the difference, cultivating the philosophical understanding of the difference between spirit and matter. That's buddhi yoga. It's a mental exercise. Whereas karma yoga is an exercise with your body and senses. Work for the pleasure of God. So it's for the same purpose. There's an overlapping. They both serve the same purpose of approaching God. So therefore they're both yogas. But buddhi yoga uses your brain, your mind, and karma yoga uses your senses and the physical body. It's just different means for the same end.
But both are necessary for devotional service.
Well, most of us cannot function as a disembodied mind or as a brainless body. We have to function on both levels. So our mental functions should be synchronized, dovetailed with the service of Krishna, and so should our physical activities. So because we have to work to live, we can't stop thinking. So we should think about Krishna and work for Krishna. We should do both. Unless, you know, we've had our brain amputated, we have no brain, or we're just a brain in a bottle and have no body. But if we have both, we should use them both. Okay? So we should do both buddhi yoga and karma yoga. That was because Arjuna was demanding. You're confusing me, telling me about two things that seem to be contradictory. So take a pick, one or the other. So Arjuna asked Krishna to tell him which one's better. That was Arjuna's demand. That Krishna said, okay, if you want to know, among the two, karma yoga is more important. Because a conditioned soul like you, Arjuna, is not ready to just sit down and think about Krishna. Better you do some active service. For a neophyte, action, aruruksho mudir yogam, karma karana muchyate, yoga ruda se tasyaiva, what is it, shalak? No, what is the word? Karana muchyate. I don't remember the exact word. For one who is just beginning to climb the yoga ladder, the means of his success at that stage is working. But for one who is near the top, to cease from work, is appropriate for him. Then he can sit down and just meditate, but not in the beginning. So therefore, especially in the beginning, karma is more important. Karma yoga, working for Krishna. Then later on, you can meditate for Krishna. Okay? Yes. Hare Krishna. Okay, anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Bhakti yoga, karma dimension.
Yeah. I've taken many. In the Pancharatras, there are descriptions of these different processes. In general, the tantras of all different sorts are describing various disciplines. Tantras are like practical textbooks. The Upanishads are theoretical. I may not talk about what you actually do, but the tantras, including the Pancharatra Agama and other scriptures, they and the Dharma Shastras also, they give you practical exercises, things to do, disciplines for advancing spiritually. And certainly in many of these books, these different forms of karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga are described in many books. But what you don't find very often is a description of pure bhakti yoga, unmixed. We usually find in various scriptures like, say, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, describes a form of bhakti, but it's jnana mishra bhakti. It's understanding of devotional service for those who still want to have liberation. They're motivated by the desire to get liberated. So for them, the Shvetashvatara Upanishad teaches mixed jnana mishra bhakti. But pure bhakti, that we only find in a few books. Like the Gita, the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, was the best book for studying this whole science of pure bhakti. A few other books. A few Puranas, like the Harivamsa, some parts of the Skanda and Padma Puranas, and a few other books teach about pure bhakti. Mixed bhakti, mixed forms of karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, and karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, they're described in many books. Many, many books. Many authorized shastras, original Vedic texts, and books written by various sages explaining the original Vedas. Thousands of books about all these different processes. But Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, is not explained in many books, only a few books. So we're especially interested in those books. In particular, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, these two books. That's what we're interested in. Because we're interested not in mixed devotion, but in pure devotion. That's what distinguishes the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, is our exclusive interest in pure devotion, unmixed devotion. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any other question? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Sri Venugopal Bhagavan Ki Jai.